Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 11, The Childhood Pastimes of Krishna, Text 28. Vanam Vrindavanam Nama Pasavyam Navakananam Gopagopi Gavam Sevyam Punyadri Trina Virudam Vanam, another forest. Vrindavanam, Nama, named Vrindavana. Pasavyam, a very suitable place for maintenance of the cows and other places, animals. Navakananam, there are many new garden-like places. Gopa Gopi Gavayam, for all the coward men, the members of their families, and the cows. Sevyam, a very happy, very suitable place. Punya Adri, there are nice mountains. Trina, plants. Virudam, and creepers. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Between Nandeshvara and Mahavana is a place named Vrindavana. This place is very suitable because it is lush with grass, plants, and creepers for the cows and other animals. It has nice gardens and tall mountains. It is full of facilities for the happiness of all the gopas and gopis and our animals. Prabhupada, Vrindavan is situated between Nandeshvara and Mahavana. Formerly the coward men had shifted to Mahavan, but still there are disturbances. Therefore the coward men selected Vrindavana, which was between the two villages, and decided to go there. Text 29. Therefore let us immediately go today. There is no need to wait any further. If you agree to my proposal, let us prepare all the bullock carts, put the cows in front of us, and let us go there. Upon hearing this advice from Upananda, the coward men unanimously agreed. Very nice, they said, very nice. Thus they sorted out their household affairs, placing their clothing and other paraphernalia in the carts, and immediately started for Vrindavana. We should be so detached. Could you imagine if you were told you had to move today to another city? You have to pack everything you had into a bullock cart and go there slowly. Translation, keeping all the old men, women, children, and household paraphernalia on the bullock carts and keeping all the cows in front, the coward men picked up their bows and arrows with great care and sounded bugles made of horn. O King Parikshit, in this way, with bugles vibrating all around, the coward men, accompanied by their priests, began their journey. In this connection, as we noted, that although the inhabitants of Gokula were mostly coward men and cultivators, they knew how to defend themselves from danger and how to give protection to the women, the old men, the cows, and the children, as well as to the Brahminical Purohitas. The coward men riding on the bullocks' carts were dressed very nicely, with excellent garments, and their bodies, especially their breasts, were decorated with fresh kumkum powder. As they rode, they began to chant with great pleasure the pastimes of Krishna. Thus, hearing about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great pleasure, Mother Yashoda and Rohini Devi, so as not to be separated from Krishna and Balaram, even for a moment, got up with them on one bullock cart. In this situation, they all looked very beautiful. You're having a huddle back there or something? Purport. It appears that Mother Yashoda and Rohini could not be separated from Krishna and Balaram even for a moment. They used to pass their time either by taking care of Krishna and Balaram or by chanting about their pastimes. As Mother Yashoda and Rohini looked very beautiful. In this way they entered Vrindavan, where it is always pleasing to live in all seasons. They made a temporary place to inhabit it by placing their bullock carts around them in the shape of a half moon. Purport. As stated in the Vishnu Purana, Shakati Vata Paryantas Chandrarada Kara Samstite. As stated in the Harivamsa, Kanta Kibi Pravridabis Tata Kanta Kibir Drumai. Ni kalo churita shakabi bir abhigupta samanta taha. There is no need to make fences all around. One side was already defended by the thorn trees, and thus the thorn trees, the bullock cart, and the animals circled the inhabitants in their temporary residence. O King Pariksha, when Ram and Krishna saw Vrindavan, Govardhan and the banks of the river Jamuna, they both enjoyed great pleasure. In this way, Krishna and Balaram, acting like small boys, talking in half-broken language, gave transcendental pleasure to all the inhabitants of Braj. In due course of time, they became old enough to take care of the calves. Purport. As soon as Krishna and Balaram were a little grown up, they were meant for taking care of the calves. Although born in a very well-to-do family, they still had to take care of the calves. This was a system of education. Those who were not born in Brahmana families were not meant for academic education. The Brahmins were trained in a literary academic education. The Kshatriyas were trained to take care of the state, and the Vaishyas learned how to cultivate the land, take care of the cows and calves. There's no need to waste time going to school to be falsely educated and later increase the number of the unemployed. Krishna and Balaram taught us by their personal behavior. Krishna took care of the cows and played his flute, and Balaram took care of the agricultural activities with the plow in his hand. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one day he was wandering throughout Navadvip trying to get donations. Because the Brahmins at that time, they didn't have to work. They'd just get donations for everyone. So he was collecting flowers and incense and different types of prasadam. But then he came to one Brahmin who knew was an astrologer. And he asked the Brahmin, Who was I in my past lifetime? So this is a very expert Brahmin. He didn't have to draw up an astrological chart. He could see the past, present, and the future through his meditation. So he started to meditate, and then he saw this half-man, half-lion appear in his meditation. Then he saw other things like a tortoise with Mount Mandara on its back, Golden Mountain. He saw a fish swimming in a water of devastation. And he said, well, I think I'm having a really bad day. Why don't you come back tomorrow? Maybe my mind will become a little clearer. Otherwise, it's a little confusing. I can't figure out who you were. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, just meditate a little more. I'm sure it'll clear up. So then he saw this man with an axe in his hand slaughtering tens and thousands of Kshatriyas. And he saw a green man in the forest with a bow and arrow and his wife and his brother. And it was becoming clearer. He said, I think I know who you were in your past lifetime. You were the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, that's not correct. He said, I know who I was in my past lifetime. He said, in my past lifetime, I was a cowherd boy. And I used to take care of cows and calves. And so because of that pious activity, now I've taken birth as a Brahmin. So if you really want to become a Brahmin, we should shut it. And in the future, we should get a farm and take care of the cows and the calves and become eligible to become Brahmins in our next lifetime. Not really. In any case, taking care of the calves, cows and calves, although it's not considered a very high position in modern society, they think it's actually a very insignificant job. But actually, it's what the Supreme Personality of Godhead does eternally. Now, if it was a lowly occupation, you'd think he'd graduate after some time, and maybe he'd become a kshatriya in the spiritual world. After all, he has a lot of practice taking care of the cows and calves. He must have a lot of pious activity accumulated. So he should become a kshatriya. Because he is a kshatriya. In Dwarka, he's a kshatriya. And in the heavenly planets, he's a Brahmin. But his primary occupation eternally is that of taking care of the cows. And Balaram, he actually, according to here, he plows the land and does agricultural work sometimes. So it's not a low-class activity. It's the result of to become a cowherd boy or a cowherd girl, enjoying with Krishna in the spiritual world, punya punya. It's a result of many, many pious transcendental pious activities. And even in this world, actually, although it's not considered a very high-class occupation, still farmers, they support everyone else. Without farms, without producing agricultural work, everyone will starve. Like at the end of Kali Yuga, when people don't have the intelligence how to take care of the land and protect the cows, there are no more cows left. Nothing is growing, so then they wind up eating each other. Now, I myself don't consider that progress. You see someone on the street, and they say hi, and they smile at you, and then you start to run. Because you wonder what they're actually thinking. So that's a very degraded position. And that's what Kali Yuga is coming to already, very quickly. People have become so degraded that they're actually considering in Europe that cows are the source of all our problems. They say that the world is becoming, it used to be, there was a climate change, because now they call it climate change. Because previously, they were saying that actually the world is going to get cooler, and everyone's going to freeze to death. So that didn't happen. Obviously, we're still here. And so then they changed it to, everyone's going to, the climate's getting hotter, and everyone's going to boil to death. And that didn't happen. So now it's just plain old climate change caused by CO2. They say the climate's changing because of carbon dioxide. And the main culprits are the cows, because they pass a lot of gas. There's a lot of cows, and they pass a lot of gas. And so the solution to our problem is to kill all the cows. Does that sound familiar? Someone else mentioned that 5,000 years ago. His ministers and himself, they decided to kill all the cows, harass the Brahmins, kill all the children. Does that sound familiar? That's what's happening now. They're killing the children, either in the womb or by giving them jabs or however they want to kill the children. And then now they want to kill all the cows to solve their problems. They're not satisfied the fact that they're going to hell. They want to go in a first class. Therefore, we should take note what the actual culture is, and just from common sense, that everyone exists on food grains. Everyone, just like Hera, here we have another 10 minutes for the class, maybe. And then the next thing is prasadam. Now, everyone usually gets more excited about the prasadam than they do about the class. Out of duty, we come to the class to try to hear philosophy. But out of spontaneous devotion, we go and eat prasadam. Because you could survive without coming to class for a week or two or a month, but you can't survive without going to prasadam for a month or two. Therefore, all living entities, including ourselves, we exist on food grains, but where do food grains come? They come from rain. Just the right amount of rain, not ati or alpa. Ati means too much rain. Generally speaking, either there's a drought or there's too much rain in Kali Yuga. Either there's too much sun or there's no sun. And because of that, the crops don't grow. Therefore, Krishna says, they exist on food grains, and food grains come from rain, and rain comes from the performance of sacrifice. And the Veda culture was set up that everyone was engaged in sacrifice. Every occupation was simply for sacrifice. It wasn't for sense gratification. People didn't waste their time trying to figure out how to increase their sense gratification, because it's not possible to increase it. Just like now they've invented these smartphones for stupid people. Every stupid person has a smartphone because they have no brains. And what do they do with it? Well, maybe they go on social media all day long. They don't look just like in a family. You see in modern families, people are sitting at the table texting the other people who are eating at the table. They don't even look at the people eating at the same table as them anymore. They text them. And the other thing is they play games. When they're not texting someone, they're playing a game, some horrible game. They're in a dungeon. It's all dark on their screen. And there's some dragon in there trying to eat them. That's what they do for entertainment. And they think that's life. They think they're making advancement. Their consciousness is becoming more and more degraded. Their relationships with other living entities is diminishing or non-existing or negative at best. And they think that's advancement. They're in love with their smartphone. They're in love with the dragons in the dungeon. But there are family members they couldn't care less about. The parents have children in order to raise them so they become doctors and lawyers and support them in their old age. Instead, the children become juvenile delinquents, rogues and thieves. And they put the parents into an old age home to be tortured by the people working there. Try to get rid of them. So without proper relationships, the whole world becomes full of vana sankara. And the result is that everyone is in difficulty. Even a peaceful place like Slovenia, I think, Mukunda Madhava had his... Was that you who had your phone stolen, or was it Mukunda? What's that?
Yes, I have
both of us.
You had your phone stolen. Watch out for your phone. Do they hold a knife to you or something?
No.
They picked your pocket. Something like that? Anyhow, this is Kali Yuga. What to speak of stealing the phones, in America they steal the children. The children's playing on the street, some car comes by, swipes the kid, and he disappears. So as now Christmas has come to Slovenia and Europe, Santa Claus is here also. I think previously Santa Claus wasn't here. Do they have Santa Claus in India now too? So child swiping and everything else will come along with it too. Follow the leader. That's what it all leads to. And on the other hand, if you followed Krishna and Balaram and their parents and the loving exchanges and the nice atmosphere in Vrindavan and protecting the old people, the cows, and the women, and the old people, cows, women, who else?
Children.
Children. So that's civilization. Now the kids, they send the children to the slaughterhouse called schools to learn how to become rebellious against all authority, or to start believing that actually they're a little boy, but they're being taught that you're actually not a little boy, you're a little girl. So that's quite confusing. And the little girls are taught that you can become a little boy if you want. We have the doctor outside, he'll transform you overnight. And if you don't like being a little boy or a little girl, you can become one of the 72 different types of people that's possible. That's education. It's probably called its slaughterhouse. And for the women, it's exploitation. They have to look like they're from a fairy tale in order to attract the man. So the man can exploit the woman, and the woman can learn how to exploit the man. And they can live happily ever after for a couple of days before they get divorced and find the next person to exploit. And the old people, they send to old age homes and they try to get rid of them as soon as possible, drug them up, and then try to eliminate them so they don't cause any problems to anyone. And the cows, of course, we know what happens to the cows or the calves. So this is modern civilization, which people are so proud of, because they don't know the Tevidu Swartha Gatim Hi Vishnu. They don't know what the purpose of life is. They don't know they're eternal, and they could realize their eternality if they wanted to, but they don't want to because they're misled by blind people. So luckily, we did a little marathon, and maybe a few people got books from around the area, but there's more to life than that. It's when we protect the cows, we protect the women, we protect the children, or we protect the old people. And they're helping them become conscious of Krishna again. Then we can say we've made some significant progress. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. Why did the residents of they move to Vrindavan? I don't know exactly from where.
Land was cheaper there.
That's the reason.
No. They got a good deal on the land. No, is it, if you, the previous class, there are so many demons attacking Krishna and Balaram all the time and the other children. They decided that this place is actually not very auspicious. We should try to find some place which is more peaceful. that we won't get all these problems with the demons coming and attacking all the time.
Yes, I was listening. But as far as I know, in Vrindavan it was the same.
Yeah, demons are everywhere.
Yeah. Yes. So it was...
If you don't like downtown Ljubljana because you think the people are demoniac, you can go to Maribor and you'll find some demons there too. Everywhere. They're everywhere in Kali Yuga. Especially because, you know, Kamsa was determined to kill Krishna, especially Krishna. So it wasn't that because they moved a few miles away, the demons decided, well, it's too far. Have to take a bus there. But there's no buses, so I guess we can't attack Krishna Balaram there. No, they were very enthusiastic. Wherever Krishna Balaram went, they attacked them. Even they went to Mathura, they still got attacked. Wherever they went. There was, even Dwarka, Krishna was having a hard time having to defend Dwarka sometimes. Yes?
Thank you very much for class, Maharaj. I would just like to, what I observed lately, that so many children, like, they are taught not to take cookies or not to communicate with strangers. Obviously, then I spoke yesterday, at the end of the day, with one family, and they said, yes, don't you watch TV, don't you hear radio, like, obviously, apparently, so many abuses is reported on the media, so... And then I wonder, like, you know, it will be those children, when they grow up, they will be more and more reserved, it will be harder and harder to preach to them.
Yes, so... Preach while we can. Like they used to have this Halloween. I guess Halloween has come to Slovenia also. They have Halloween. Children go trick and treat. So in America, they started what they'd hand out apples, and in the apple, there would be a razor blade. So children would bite into the apple, and the razor blade would cut their mouth. People are becoming more and more demoniac, so. Poison candy, razor blades in the apples. So, you know, obviously any parent who's a little conscientious is going to try and protect the child. Because you never know. And ultimately, in society, as we know, it's the leaders who are the most degraded. So how can you trust anyone? You can't even trust the leaders. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you. I have a question pertaining to these cows and CO2. They say that the cows are the main problem for the environment, like for the global warming. But is it possible that maybe like Krishna is making it this way that maybe that they will stop eating so much cows that they will stop killing them?
Oh, they're going to kill all of them. kill all of them, you don't have to worry about killing anymore because there's no left. There's none of them left. Is it Krishna's arrangement? No, Krishna doesn't want that. But, you know, obviously when you're living, they're demons and probably the cows that they're going to kill. Previously, they were the same people who were killing cows too. So it's just a product of Kali Yuga. But you get the reactions for killing cows. Then you have to come back as a cow somewhere and get killed also. Does Krishna want that? No, it's not Krishna. It's the people, demoniac people. Their rejection of Krishna society, Krishna culture, that's what causes them to be entangled in that way, in the material energy. They could choose Krishna's culture and protect the cows, but because they're demons, because they're misled by the illusory energy, therefore they do the opposite. And therefore, instead of living in the spiritual world, they come to live in the material world. Anything else? Kuala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.